Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon. This is Elaine Grohman, and it is absolutely, my heart is bursting with joy to have the opportunity to share the airways with a man that just tomorrow will only be 3 weeks that I've known you, Paris, but it feels like it's been many, many lifetimes. My guest today is Paris Delane, who is not your ordinary human being. He is an extraordinarily talented vocalist, musician, producer, director, a multiple platinum award winning musician, artist, and not only that, an extraordinary healer who was the model for the character John Coffey in the movie The Green Mile. So welcome to the show, my dear friend.
Oh, sweetheart, thank you. That's I don't think anybody has ever introduced me with such grace and love like that, but that I could not expect that from, well, I could only expect that from someone who is just as powerful as a healer and as graceful as I am, as you. And so I guess they say birds of a feather flocks together. And you know, and when I look in the mirror, you know, it's like it's looking at Mother Earth.
Yes.
And so I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear. Well, Paris, your life as a musician became so much a part of your childhood, beginning with your beautiful mother, Lillian, handing you a guitar at the tender age of 8 years old, and how your home being so immersed is almost like an incubator, if you will, to have you grow up in such surrounded by such incredible voices and talent. Can you give us a little inkling about your childhood?
Yeah, because, you know, it's amazing how much so much love was in our household. I mean, we were in a very small place. We were very poor, but I didn't realize that we were. And it was like we were living in a pit of hell. But through all of that, there was so much heaven in the pit of hell, because God was all around us, all in us, all in our home. So much love. And my parents, you know, they gave their children lots of books to read. And so through that, you know, it was just absolutely amazing. But my mother, I mean, I love my father. He was 6'9". He was a giant. But I was madly in love with my mother because she was truly the rock. She's the one that nourished everything. And she would always give us books to read, and she would always sing. I mean, her voice was just so amazing, the notes that she was hitting. And we went to a little Baptist church, or at the time, the church is not there anymore, but it was called Omega Baptist Church. And it was on 46th State Street in Chicago. And Reverend Jesse Dixon, who passed away, he won all kind of awards and stuff in the gospel field. He was the music director and pianist for the church. And one day, he brought a little man to hear my mother sing. And he said, you know, you got to hear Sister Lillian sing and blah, 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 blah. Well, the man came and heard my mother sing and just fell in love with my mom and her voice and the whole bit. And that man was Louis Armstrong.
Wow.
And yeah, and he wanted my mother to get in the record business and I guess try to get her a record deal. And, but my mother just wasn't having that. She didn't want to, she just wanted to sing in church. She wasn't trying to get a record deal or get no records or things, but she just loved singing for the Lord. And then one day he came back and he had Mahalia.
Mahalia Jackson.
I mean, I can't believe I'm even sad, but Mahalia Jackson and Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and all of them and
hanging out in your living room, right?
hanging out in our little house. But you know, those people were so down to earth. I mean, they all knew what it was like to, at one point of their lives, they were in little houses too, in little apartments themselves. And but you know, the good Lord, he just he fixes things. You know, he fixes it. Actually, it was, for me today, I think it was already fixed before they broke. You know, we sometimes, when I mean the world, we separate ourselves from each other, whether it's blacks and blacks or white and whites, and then blacks and whites and red, pink, green. It really doesn't matter. We separate ourselves. But it's a blessing when we realize that no one is an island unto themselves.
That's right.
And that we learn that we are strong as a whole. And I'm not just talking about a nation. I'm talking about the world. You know, because the little babies on the other side of the planet is just as important as the babies right here in this country.
That's right.
And I know I get a lot of slack there from other people like, well, America, America. I love America, but I'm an Earthican.
That's
a big difference. Mm-hmm. I love the planet Earth. And as you and I spoke about the other day, even when we were, when you we were connecting and fellowshipping, you know, you were talking about the mother, you know, and the moon. And, you know, I even learned, I mean, I learned a lot from you, you know, just in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot, you know. And so it gets back to my home. You know, my mother instilled that in her children at a young age, you know, and it says, honor thy mother and thy father, and thy days shall be long upon earth. And so that just hit home for me as a little boy still trying to figure out his way. What, I mean, not even knowing he had a way. You know, he's just there playing with his toys and doing whatever. But when he stepped outside, he saw chaos, you know, but love too. But I saw a lot of people suffering, a lot of people in pain at a young age. You know, I suffered something at the age of 6 and 7 that no child should ever have to suffer. You know, I was hung by my feet by the Ku Klux Klan when I was 6 years old. You know, and because my father was doing work in some areas that I guess he wasn't supposed to be doing work. And so they had the eye on us, and I'm out there playing, and I got caught up in that. And I can't tell no lie, you know, at that point as a kid, I can't remember this. I was getting rid of, I was starting to have some anger toward the Caucasian race. And, but my mother was such a wise woman. She looked at me, she says, that's just a few out of many. There are a lot of beautiful beauty in that too. And she said, just think, there are black people who have done you wrong too. Well, we have done black people wrong as well. And you've seen it right here. So, you know, many are called and very few are chosen. And that's the first time I heard that. And she was right. She was sure enough right. So it stopped me from going there. And it left me wide open. And,
Can you tell us a little bit, Pyrrhus, about, you know, half hour goes by so quickly and there's so much I would love to have a conversation with you about, but your musical world is so extraordinarily big, and your voice, your vocal range, and the opportunities that have been presented to you, beginning with obviously your mother having the wisdom and the love to hand her little boy a guitar, but then to sit with a trio in the subways of Chicago, and to be met by someone. He was telling me the other day that he would sit there and sing, "Get ready, people! There's a train coming." Can you imagine that beaming through or echoing through the subways? This powerful voice. You can only imagine when he sings. It's powerful. Tell us about your your life as a musician. And then at the end of the show, I want to talk about your healing work, please.
Okay. Well, it was pretty much pretty easy. I lost the love of my life, and, you know, she was my joy. And all she kept saying is, baby, you should be singing, because I didn't even really at that time. It was like my mom. I didn't want to get in the music business. It was not, I just did it for fun. You know, my mother put all these instruments and stuff in my hand. And so, but after my wife passed away, you know, I was living in South Beach at the time, and I just got on my bike and gave my place to some people and said, hold the fort down, I'm out. And I ended up somehow in the circles of life. I ended up back in Chicago and later. And I went down in the subways of Chicago and started singing, because a friend of mine came to help me, because she knew I was in a lot of pain after losing my baby. And she saw these guys in the subway and said, Pabby, say you should be in the subway singing. And so I went down in the subway, and after she talked me into it, at first I didn't want to go. I'm like, they mugging folks in the subway. I'm not going down there. And because I was very angry at the time. But then God talked to me as I was sitting in my house looking out at the city of Chicago, and he said, get your guitar and go. And a lot of people might think that's spooky, but you know what? It happened. I grabbed my guitar, I went down in the subways, and I started singing. And then I had Sam and Michael come and join me in the subway. And it was just phenomenal. And then one day, this little Jewish man came up and heard us singing Jesus on the Main Line, Amazing Grace, and said, I play guitar and I write, and I would love to make some music with you guys. You guys are phenomenal. That Jesus on the Main Line is an Andre Crouch song. And so I looked at him and said, well, you play guitar, here's my guitar, play something for me. And he played it. He played a song called Paradise, which ended up being a song to help represent the freedom of Nelson Mandela.
Mm.
And he wrote the song. And 4 months later, we found out that this young man was a member of the Prisker family who owns all the Hyatt hotels. I mean, my story is crazy. I don't know. I mean, God had his plan. This little poor boy that came from absolutely what you would think nothing as far as material things are concerned. And then I end up with the richest family in Illinois, let alone around the world.
Right.
One of the richest families around the world. And the next thing, and he's an amazing musician. He doesn't act like he's all this big multi-billionaire guy. He's just really a very down-to-earth, very real person, and he's somebody that I highly love and respect right now to this day, you know, and I learned a lot from him. Next thing you know, I'm right there with like Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. I'm
playing with Santana.
I'm on stage with Bonnie Raitt, and playing with Steve Winwood and Traffic, and Prince is at my shows in Minnesota, and he, you know, he's my friend, and opened up for Aretha. Actually, I opened up for Aretha Franklin before I got with Dad. So that was even just on our own, because we helped create the theme song for the Chicago Bulls when we finally beat Detroit. Out of all those years, and I ended up on Oprah, which I got to tell you, I feel like I'm on Oprah right now with you. So yeah, I just had to put that in there.
Okay, God, are you listening?
And I know we only have so much time, but you know, it's kind of right now, it's like this whole, I'm going back down memory lane.
Mm.
And I have to just say one more thing. You know, usually I don't like doing interviews. I don't, you know, because it's the energy, me giving my story just to I'm stuttering because it's hard. You know, it's hard to share you some of the most intimate and then some of the most painful and some of the most joyful and some of the most private moments of someone's life.
Right.
But there's nowhere in the world I could turn you down.
Oh, I just love you.
I love you too. I really, sometimes I feel uncomfortable, and that's I'm in a circle in my home with my friends, or like you would fellowship like with you. And then I'm open when I feel comfortable around people. So, because really, to be honest with you, normally I would be sitting here in tears crying. Because when I think about a lot of stuff, I've been through a lot, Elaine.
I know.
Darn. You know, I've been through a lot, but I wouldn't have it no other way.
Well,
I wish life could be easy for everybody, you know. But what gets me through is no matter what I've gone through, there's somebody that's going through far more than I am.
And what I think is so important, Paris, is you sharing your story. You're sharing your story lets people to know that they too can do it. So we as human beings, we're here to learn. And we learn when we make choices that maybe are not in our best interest, but then we choose again differently the next time. We say, oh, that's the better way. That's the better way. And that's the course that we're on right now, to learn what is the better way and how do we look at ourselves as a human species, not as any ethnicity, not as any color, not as any race, but as one species. That's what we are. And so would you mind sharing a little bit about your healing abilities?
I tell you, I know how I got the healing ability, but I also don't know, because I never practiced like prepared for it. I mean, I wanted to be a healer as a child. You know, I wanted to grow up and be a doctor as I went on through life. That was what I wanted, because I used to watch a television show as a kid called Ben Casey.
Oh, yes.
And Dr. Kildare.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those, you know. And I got to tell you, this is the sad part. I was still people older than me, you know, and even other in different races, that's what I wanted to be. And they were telling me the same, like they told Malcolm X, you should be a carpenter. Mm-hmm. I remember that happening to me as well. And but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't hearing that either. I'm stubborn when it comes to some things. And but I got into martial arts real heavy, and I had a second set of parents that were Koreans, and they owned a building that my mother and my father, we moved into, and one was a pastor, and his son Bobby took me under his wing, who was like master in martial arts, and he trained me. He got me into martial arts, and I got that bug. And as life went on, I ended up going to Japan, and I really learned a lot about healing. And there was a man named Mr. Moto, and I guess that's a common name for, you know, for some Japanese. But he would tell me, Paris, you really want to be a healer? Well, it takes more than an hour. Mm. You have to go at least 4.5 hours, because the human body is too amazing. And you got to go through heat, air, water, and sound. If you learn how to use those elements, you will be very successful in helping someone else that's in a lot of pain. And he said, I'm going to work on you. Now you remember what I do to you.
Mm.
And I did. And this little man, he was about 5'4", 5'5". And he would tell me, if you ever see me fight in a gorilla, don't call the police, call a veterinarian, because the gorilla was in trouble. Remember, I told you that the other day. and he was the most peaceful, most loving. He had the greatest smile, and he smiled with his eyes like you.
Mm.
He just smiles. And I learned. I took time and I learned, and I spent a lot of time in Osaka and Nagasaki, and I learned. And I never forget when I got back to the States and I worked on my first person that I saw was in a lot of pain, and I put 4.5 hours on them. I wasn't even tired, but I did take a lot of the pain from them. a lot to the point that it was hurting me.
Mm.
And so I had to learn how to channel that out. And I found a way to do it is by breathing and opening up my mouth, which is one of the key things for the movie, The Green Mile. My brother, even though, you know, Stephen King wrote that, but my brother, you know, he would take a lot of the things that he saw when I would work on him. And he actually used that as he was using the, as he was acting in the movie. And if anybody out there wants to know, Michael Clark Duncan was my younger brother. We have the same father, but different mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And my father messed up once in life, and it was the greatest mistake he ever made in his life.
To have your baby brother. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, because I would never.
You look so much alike.
And this is the thing about it. This is the thing. In the beginning, we didn't even know we were brothers. You know, because
really?
My father went outside the marriage. And yeah, I mean, this is really deep because I'm sitting up here saying this because this is very personal to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just there are people, some people say, oh, he's lying or this and that and this, but people don't understand what the things that happens in the, and I hate the word ghetto because ghetto is a state of mind.
Right.
But I guess, you know, all people are really the same. Everybody's come from some. Not every, you know, not all white people are rich. Not all black people are poor. Not all, you know, we all have a story.
Right.
And, you know, and, but Michael was my, I loved Michael when he didn't have a dime in his pocket.
Right.
I'm the one that took him off the streets when he was homeless. Because I hadn't seen him in 3 years. He had went off and did his own thing. And he was homeless, and he was sleeping in his car, and he came to live with me. And we had, I got home videos of me and him in my home when he was living with me, when he was just Big Mike. And trying to find his way. And there was a couple of times where he was very stressful, and he really didn't want to be on this planet anymore.
Mm.
But he, God had him with me, and I was able to change his thought and mind. I got him his first television appearance was a White Sox commercial with Jim Harbaugh. And because me and my colleagues, I was actually the voice that went to good, and I knew that for, was a White Sox commercial voiceover, but it was for the a slogan for the, what was it, Good Guys Wear Black.
Mm.
And that opened up a lot of doors. It really got him a bug. And then he got signed to the Gross Agency in L.A. And then he was able to get Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And then he was able to get the Jamie Foxx show. And then Night at the Roxbury. And then he met Bruce Willis, and Bruce Willis was really funny with the way they met because Bruce had seen him at a function at that they were, and he walked up to Michael and he says, "How come you didn't speak to me when I came in here?" He says, "Well, I was told that you don't like anybody approaching you." He says, "Well, have I ever treated you like that?" He says, "No, I can't say you have, sir, because my brother was doing security," and he said, "But when I come in here and when you see me walking in for the rest of this week of this function, I want you to speak to me." And Michael said, "Okay." And they became best friends after that. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, he put him in Armageddon. And then after that, he came back at him and he said, "Here's a book I need you to read. You read this book. If you get this, your bank account's going to change." And that book was The Green Mile.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's, and people need to understand, he suffered, he was homeless, you know, but God has his plan. Sometimes these are the things that need to happen in order for us to get there. But when I lay my hands, like I said, I'm not an expert with all the terms. It's not about, for me, I can't speak for anybody else. It's not about the terms and what technology has to offer, whatever. It's not any of that. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm an educated man, but for me to heal needs no education when you love.
That's right.
When you put your hands on someone and you feel love, it's just like an animal. and they have a pup or a cub or whatever, and their baby is hurt.
Yeah.
A dog licks the wound.
Right. Well, Paris, as you know, our time is kind of wrapping up, and I want to make sure that people know to go to your website, which is www.parisdelane, D-E-L-A-N-E, musicgroup.com. And if just to be in the presence of you, Paris, a man who exudes love and integrity and humor and true power, I'm so blessed to know you. And please take a look at the work that he does. You've heard him on commercials, baby back ribs, that's you. But if you have a chance, if you're in Michigan, please go to Frankenmuth. And I had the privilege to sit with a friend of mine. We went up there on a whim and listened to him play for 4.5 hours straight. It was unreal.
Slow smoking good.
Yeah, slow smoking good.
I love that place.
So
I'm listening. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So thank you very much for your time today, Paris. I deeply appreciate who you are as a human being and the way you walk this planet as a gentle giant. And the goodness.
I love you, little lady. You're such a powerful person. And now, I mean, we've only 3 weeks, but you're one of my dearest friends on the planet.
Well, honey, you have no idea what your life is like when you have a little leprechaun in it. Okay, well, thank you so much. This is Elaine Grohman for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, and you too can take yourself out of whatever mindset you've brought yourself to and make your life better than you ever dreamed.